Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate that you listen to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and also leave us some feedback. Rate us. Give us a review. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
John Canzano. Raw. Sourced. Fresh. From the PacWest Center in downtown Portland, built by High Caliber Millwrights. This is the Bald-Faced Truth.
Marcus Mariota, I think people in the state of Oregon will always wonder what he's up to. They'll always follow him. I just think he's got that kind of following. Teresa Walker, she has a great job. She covers the Titans for the Associated Press. She does a terrific job at it. And she's got a story on Marcus Mariota and Jameis Winston together again at a joint practice. She also has the misfortune of being on our speed dial because she's covering Mariota, and we bring her on several times a year. Teresa, you got a big following out here.
Well, I completely understand. When you cover Marcus Mariota, if you've ever had a chance to watch him play or become a fan, it's really easy to want to keep up with what he's doing. And so I completely understand that.
What was it like for Mariota and Winston to be together at a practice?
Well, very interesting, but, you know, it's three football fields, so they're essentially separated. You know, Marcus was working on the left field as you're looking out from the Titans headquarters, and Jameis was on the far right field. The only time, really, that they were on the same field was, yesterday and today they had a session where the first team went against offense, defense, and vice versa. Well, but guess what? When Marcus was out there with the first team yesterday, Jameis was on the other sideline. So that's about as close as they really got, you know, because guys got out early, they're warming up, and, you know, even though they're in the same area, it's not that close. I will say this, I did notice that, and they both said they didn't get a chance to talk yesterday. Well, today, you know, at the end of the practice, Marcus runs over to Jameis Winston, who's throwing passes to Mike Evans, and then another couple teammates who come over. Marcus runs over, you know, it looked like there was a quick, hi, how you doing, and then Marcus left.
Teresa Walker with us, Associated Press. How good do the Titans look? Because a lot of people expecting them to take a big step.
Well, it's still early, and they're still working to learn Matt LaFleur's offense, which involves an awful lot of timing. I will say that. And, you know, one of their starting wide receivers, Rishard Matthews, has been on the PUP list throughout camp. He didn't practice throughout the offseason program. But, you know, he's gotten a lot of time with Corey Davis, who every day he just seems to look a little bit better and more comfortable in that number one role. But I will say this, John, I do think that this offense is going to be a lot more suited to Marcus Mariota's skills because, you know, it has him moving around. It's got quick passes, and, you know, it gives him a chance, I think, to, you know, to throw the ball and be more effective. And I do expect his numbers to take a jump. Let's face it, the reason the Titans made the coaching change in January is despite winning a playoff game, despite winning the first playoff game since January 2004 for this franchise, that they wanted more, and they wanted something that better suited Marcus Mariota. You know, he's going into his fourth season. They picked up his fifth-year option for next year. They have to know, is this our franchise quarterback, hopefully for another 10 years? You know, but they've got to see that. So they made the change from Mike Mularkey to Mike Vrabel. Vrabel brings in Matt LaFleur, who, you know, is all the excitement about him. Well, he's never called plays in a regular season game. Every game in this preseason, he is doubling his experience. You know, prior to this, he called the plays in six preseason quarters a year ago. So, you know, he studied with Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay, Mike Shanahan. You know, so there's been a lot of apprentice work, so to speak. But, you know, this is going to be his first time. So, you know, all these guys are kind of learning and working together. So, going to be very curious. But when you have pieces like Corey Davis, your two-time Pro Bowl left tackle Taylor Lewan, three-time Pro Bowl tight end Delanie Walker, Derrick Henry, you know, who won the Heisman Trophy the year after Mariota won it, there are definitely the pieces in place around him to really help them get this offense off the ground.
Teresa Walker, Associated Press with us. You talk about continuity with a franchise being valuable. You've got the Blazers here in Portland who say continuity is something that we value. You know, we're sticking with the mission. In Tennessee, they've changed coaches and changed coaches. How has that affected that NFL franchise?
Well, that's the thing. It's been a revolving door at coach. I mean, this is going to be the third different head coach for Marcus Mariota going into his fourth season. So if you want to compare him to Jameis Winston, Winston's had relative security at the coaching position. So it is a challenge. And there's been a rotating cast of offensive coordinators to work with. Certainly not something that is good for a young quarterback. And, you know, we've seen how many quarterbacks have we seen over the years that just kind of bomb out, John, because they're being asked to do different things year in and year out. But that said, there's been an awful lot of money spent around this franchise, you know, since Amy Adams Strunk took over as controlling owner. And that's part of the commitment to bring in Mike Vrabel, trying to get this team in the best position to be competitive, not just to get to the postseason, but to do something once they get there. So with all these pieces in place, it feels like this franchise is finally, knock on wood, at a point of where it can maybe build some security.
Offensively, did they do enough in the offseason to get Mariota tools, or were they focused on the defensive side of the ball?
Well, they did go out and get Deion Lewis, and, you know, with DeMarco Murray, letting him go in March, you know, the foot, not sure just how healthy he was last year. Certainly, you know, he retired just before the training camps opened across the league. But Deion Lewis, he's a guy that can catch the ball and be very, very effective coming out of the backfield. That was a big addition. You know, they just re-signed Delanie Walker to another deal, and he's been a very favorite target of Mariota's here in Tennessee. So, you know, enough, we're going to have to wait and see. They did not go out and sign a real veteran wide receiver. You know, right now it's Rishard Matthews. Corey Davis, who was the first wide receiver taken a year ago, you know, struggled with hamstring injuries throughout the season, preseason and into the season. So he didn't catch a touchdown pass until the playoff game that they lost in New England. So they're expecting and depending on an awful lot of young receivers that, you know, I'll be honest, John, even though I've been around them now for 3 weeks, I keep having to check the roster to double check, okay, that number is who and where's he from, what's he done. That's what they're leaning on, a lot of guys to do that. One guy, keep an eye on, Nick Williams. He caught a big touch third down pass last week in the preseason opener in Green Bay. He's been around this system with Matt LaFleur in Washington and Atlanta, so he's very familiar with the scheme. And so guys you may not have heard of, think Cooper Kupp last year with the Rams. Somebody's going to step up, and because of the system, should be able to be productive. At least that's the hope. And that's the biggest question mark probably about this offense, aside from how quickly do the Titans get up to speed in this new scheme, is who's going to be catching these balls, and did they do enough at wide receiver? Stay tuned.
How has Mariota changed in your time covering him? Because, you know, he was pretty even. We did see him mature in college, and by the time he left, he was, you know, he had grown. But what have you seen in his time in Tennessee?
Well, I will say this. We don't get to see a ton of him. You know, he speaks at the banner once a week, and, you know, we've seen him at Predator playoff games. And, you know, teammates have mentioned how he, you know, they love him because sometimes he's their designated driver. We know that he's bought a place to live here in Nashville and, you know, spends time with family. But guess what? It doesn't seem like he's changed from Oregon to here. You know, he's still a young man who works really hard, which I think may give the Titans a big edge as they put in this new scheme that does depend on timing. He's, you know, we know that he's going to be doing lots of extra work to try to get comfortable with it. But, you know, he's a quiet man and he keeps his life pretty private.
You know, we saw him in Oregon take, you know, the Ducks to a level that they probably would aspire and hope they could ever get back to. Is the average fan in Tennessee wearing a Mariota jersey, telling their kids, look at that guy, he makes his bed every morning? Does he have that following?
There's definitely a core fans that are Mariota fans. I mean, how could you not be? I mean, if you're a parent,
you know, he's the kind of young man you want your kid to grow up to be. You know, respectful, polite. You mentioned making the bed and things like that. You know, teammates have talked about how it should, he'll make their bed at times. So, you know, he's perfect that way. The playoff game and some of what he's done, he has an absolute core of fans here. That said, it still feels like with him and with this team overall, there's still a lot of people that are kind of in wait-and-see mode, John, wanting to see, you know, yeah, we saw him throw the block to free up the, you know, big run for Derrick Henry in the playoffs. We saw him catch his own pass for a touchdown in the playoffs. You know, you've seen some really amazing things. And then, you know, the last impression for a lot of people is that loss in New England where the, you know, the Titans just didn't, you know, couldn't keep pace with Tom Brady. So, waiting to see how this he grows up and this franchise. So, if they could get off to a good start, and with the tough schedule they've got in the first month, John, a good start could just be 2-2. So I'm very curious to see how, you know, how they get started and, you know, if they can maybe create the excitement that honestly has been missing around this franchise for a decade.
All right, so talk me off of the idea that this team – you know, could play deep into the playoffs. What are the problem areas? What could go wrong for the Titans?
Well, I mentioned the schedule. You know, the first month particularly is tough. They, you know, Miami is the opener, but then they come back and host Houston. And let's face it, you know, Deshaun Watson picked them apart and just embarrassed this franchise a year ago in Houston. Then they go to Jacksonville, and while they swept the Jaguars last year, they could not close out the AFC South title. So they have to prove that they can win some big games, and then they have to, they go after they do Jacksonville, they come back and they're hosting Philadelphia. So this is a schedule that has New England on it, Monday night game in Dallas. So they're playing the NFC East. Schedule is challenging. You have a first-time head coach in Mike Vrabel, who, you know, while everyone thought he was going to be a home run head coach in the NFL eventually, well, now he's got to prove that. So can he be the guy that makes the right decisions in the final 2 minutes of games? There's a lot of moving pieces here. That said, John, you know, they had very few holes in the starting roster to fill coming into camp. A lot of experience is back, and there's a lot of hunger there. They looked around Foxborough and saw the atmosphere that they, you know, that they've been lacking in Nashville, and see what the NFL is supposed to be. And it just feels like they're trying to get back to that and do better.
Can they win 9? Can they win 10?
Sure, they can. Last year, John, if there was 4 games where at worst they lost, they should have gone at worst 2-2. This was an 11-win team last year, and they cost themselves in those games. So, you know, the possibility absolutely is there. They're going to have to survive September and October. They've got a lot of home games in the month of December, which could put them in position to do just that. But again, we're going to find out just how much difference a coach can make. You know, last year, Mike Mularkey, those 4 games, absolute crunchers, cost him the division title in a home playoff game. You know, if Mike Vrabel's all that, they absolutely could be hosting a playoff game in January.
Teresa Walker, we appreciate you. Thank you.
My pleasure, John.
Great stuff from Tennessee, where the Titans, Vegas says 7.5 to 8 wins on the Titans. Teresa Walker says maybe 9, maybe 10. We'll see. Is it safe to buy the jersey of any player? Sure. Is it safer to have a Marcus Mariota jersey than some others? Yes. I just wonder, like, when you look around the NFL, are there a handful of guys where you go, you know what, that guy's not going to embarrass me. If I buy that jersey for my kid, I'm not going to have to worry about, you know, taking it to the Goodwill and making sure they never. Like, I remember being in Goodwill, like, when I first got to Portland, Jailblazers era. The racks were filled with, like, Rasheed Wallace jerseys and Bonzi Wells and Damon Stoudemire. All of you listeners were taking your old jerseys to Goodwill and being like, nope, that kid's not wearing that jersey. Who is it safe to wear anymore? 503-417-7575. You tell me. Aretha Franklin, the Queen of Soul, has died. A lot of people mourning her death, spirit, and talent. A lot of respect to her, and I mean that literally. Former President Obama said that Aretha Franklin helped define the American experience. Paul McCartney said, look, she'll be missed, but the memory of her greatness as a musician and a fine human being will live with us forever. A lot of gratitude towards her. She, powerful voice, powerful woman. That's what I can say about Aretha Franklin. And for those who are... Everybody, what song do you think about when you think about Aretha Franklin?
Really?
It's not... I was surprised by this, because I go immediately to where you go.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's just the first song. I mean, I always go there.
Aretha Franklin, respect.
Respect, yeah.
How about Natural Woman?
Natural Woman, yep.
Is that a good one?
Yeah, it's probably the next in line. Next song I think about.
I want to pull a couple of these up, but... How about you, Alabama Adriana? What do you think about when you think about Aretha Franklin?
I think that was engraved in most people's minds, and when you think about her.
A few days ago, somebody tweeted that she was in bad health, and I started thinking about it. And then I when the news came out, I wasn't surprised by it, but. It's like, I think of her as like such a powerful person.
What you want, baby, I got. What you need, too, you know I got it, too. All I'm asking you is for a little respect when you come home. Just a little bit, hey, baby, just a little bit.
You guys know what year that song came out? 1967. Written by Otis Redding. Performed by Aretha Franklin. So, who has your respect when it comes to jerseys in sports? Who do you know won't embarrass you? You tell me at 503-417-7575. You're buying a jersey for your kid. You're in a store. You're in one of those sports stores in the mall that's got every jersey. Love those stores. I used to love those stores as a kid. The store that I used to go to in the Bay Area was called the Sports Fan. It was a standalone. It was in an outdoor mall. It had all glass windows. You'd walk in, and it was like the NFL, Major League Baseball, NHL, NBA had just exploded into the room. Jerseys hanging from the rafters. Jerseys stacked on walls. Every size, every color. So if I put you in that situation and I ask you, what jersey is it safe? Which jersey do you buy your kid? You tell me at 503-417-7575. Let's go to Kurt and Eugene. What are you buying, Kurt?
Hey, before I give you my take, I just want to thank you for great lunchtime entertainment, man. I look forward to listening to you every day, and now with Ducks football coming, you always have the best guest, and if you can get Chip in some of your interviews at this time of year, are really great. So
thank you.
Thanks for doing what you do up there.
I love getting
answered by Adriana, and it's just it's a great part of my day. So just want to thank you for that.
Yes.
I'm going NASCAR on the jersey, man.
Okay.
And I know that's old school. I know I'm like the minority as far as that sport goes. But I've been watching it since I was a kid with my dad, and we all wear our NASCAR gear proudly because, 99% of those drivers are chosen because they can represent a sponsor. They can, they got the sponsors on their cars, on their gear, and they're after the fans', compliance and agreements with their sponsor and with themselves. So I'm going to say NASCAR is the most trusted brand out there to wear the gear.
Yeah, and a lot of people don't think of NASCAR jerseys as a thing. But when you look up NASCAR jerseys, I mean, it's like, yeah, it makes sense. There's merchandising there. And he's right about sponsors. Because in NASCAR, it's not like the Philadelphia Eagles have a driver. It's the drivers are there. And then the products, like the companies like Pennzoil or whoever, will say, hey, that's a guy that we think is going to win, and that's a guy that's not going to embarrass us. So I put you in that store. You got to buy a jersey for your kid. What are you buying? I want to hear from parents. I want to hear from people who might be parents one day. I want to hear from people who have been in this situation, maybe in the last couple of years. Can you walk in, maybe do it online, and go, hey, I'm confident. First, the other thing you have to worry about is the guy jumping ship now, too. You can't buy a LeBron jersey in Cleveland. A year later, you're hosed.
I got one.
Yeah, who do you buy?
I mean, they're not my team, but I think you're solid in getting his jersey, especially if you're from Portland, especially the way the Diamond Project's going, is Russell Wilson.
Yeah. Is that what you were going to say, Alabama Adriana?
Yeah.
Get a Russell Wilson jersey. Have the Seahawks come out with a Sierra jersey yet?
Oh, I don't know.
They should.
That's a great idea.
Save it for the Diamond Project.
Yeah, there you go.
Put her name on the back. Ryan's in Salem. Ryan, what are you doing?
I'm just working today, like always. I actually just got my kid a jersey. He's not popular, but Jed Lowry from Salem, Oregon.
Yep.
Thought that was pretty awesome. That guy's been a veteran for many years. You know, he's not going to do anything stupid, and we're pretty proud of him here in Salem. He went to North Salem High School, so, and as you know, I love the Oakland Athletics. I call you all the time about him. So
let me ask
you. I got my boy.
Yeah, so when you have a choice there, you pick Lowry because you feel connected to Salem?
Yes. Well, yeah, I went to South Salem. I played baseball South, and, you know, I'm connected to the Vikings. We used to play them a lot. So, and just, hell, I can't think of any other baseball players from Salem. So,
yeah. Cool. There you go. There it is. All right, let's go to James and Canby. That opens the line at 503-417-7575. James is in Canby. Go ahead, James.
Going to county fairs or not, but out here in Canby is the Clackamas County Fair, and I noticed the last 7 or 8 years the attendance has went down. It's just too hot, I think, maybe, but I would probably say Mike Trout for a jersey. And one last comment on the Oakland A's. The first time I ever watched a TV set in my life was watching the Oakland A's in the World Series in 1970, and I'm the biggest Oakland A's fan in the world. Catfish Hunter, Blue Moon Odin, Vita Blue, Sal Bando, yep. Dean Tennis, all of them. So I'm saying to the Oakland A's, look, you got the Golden State Warriors. The Raiders have already moved to Vegas next year. Let's go ahead and get the A's moved to Portland, Oregon.
Let's take them all. Let's loot Oakland. Let's take every team that they possibly have. Do they have a roller derby team? Let's take it. No. You're just being mean now. By the way, the most popular jersey in Major League Baseball this season in jersey sales since opening day, do you know who it is? Any guesses? It's Aaron Judge. Yankees. 99.
Okay. That doesn't surprise me.
Chris Bryant with the Cubs, also in the top three. Yankees always have players like that. Derek Jeter was always up there. Mariano Rivera was always up there. Why is that? Everybody wants to be a Yankees fan.
You know, with the I won't mention A-Rod, but I just did. the two you just mentioned were solid players and were guys that you could give your kid
you
a jersey.
You knew they were going to be there.
That's right. And they were good guys, and they weren't going to screw it up. So that, you know, you have a criteria. They're not playing anymore, but that's as good as you can get.
My 15-year-old has three jerseys hanging in her. She has four jerseys hanging in her closet that are Blazers jerseys, and the reason she has four is because she had a Gerald Wallace jersey, and he left, and then she was like, well, Gerald Wallace isn't there. I can't be walking around with his jersey, and then she grew, and so she said, okay, can I get another one? And I said, who are you going to pick? She picked LaMarcus Aldridge. Then she picked Brandon Roy. They're all gone. So now she doesn't fit in any of those, and they're all gone. She has a Damian Lillard jersey, and I got news for her.
Uh-oh.
She's got about... two, three years, and that one is, you know, A, probably won't fit her, and B, also will be gone. But those jerseys are still in her closet. She also has a Ducks football jersey and a Beavers jersey, in case anybody's wondering. And Sean Mannion, former Beavers quarterback, loved it because she had Mannion's number. And he was like, oh, that's a big deal. I didn't have the heart to tell him that was just the jersey number. She wasn't saying, I want Sean Mannion's jersey. She said, hey, I want to get a Beavers jersey and a Ducks jersey. So I let her do it. Andrew's in Portland. Andrew, what's up?
Hey, don't have a kid, but, you know, I'd like to, I kind of like to think about these things, you know, down the road.
Yeah.
You know, who would I get for my kids? And a good place that I was thinking of looking is, you know, the man of the year kind of award guys in each and every sport. You know, somebody that's doing good off the field, doing good on the field, usually are the same type of guy. And a lot of the time, even if they're jumping around, there's still a guy that, you know, you can go to a town where he used to play or where he's playing with a different team's team on your back, but that guy's name, and they're still going to love him.
Yeah, that's true, because it's become like, you know, if you have a DeMarcus Cousins jersey and he leaves New Orleans, it's become fashionable for people to like burn a jersey and like, oh, I hate that guy. But I also think like we're rooting for players as much now in this era as you were for teams. I am old fashioned. So if I had a Joe Montana jersey and he would have left the 49ers to go play for the Rams, I would not have worn that jersey afterwards. I would have been like, that guy, he betrayed me. People, I don't know if they do that anymore. Punch It Audio is coming up. Best sound from all around.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.